News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Our number 704-570-1110. Happy to welcome back to the program somebody whose work I always admire, and I'm always thrilled to have the chance to catch up with him. You know him from his terrific work over at Breitbart. He is Joel Pollack, and he joins us now. Joel, thanks so much for making time for us today.
Hello to everyone in North Carolina.
It is good to be here in a free state, and the door is always open for you to come and see us. You know what I'm saying, my friend?
Do you live next to the Pacific Ocean? Because that's my requirement for
no,
any state I live in.
No, but we're only a couple hours from the Atlantic. But hold on a second. Hold on a second. At some point, they may loot the Pacific Ocean from you guys. I mean, this is crazy. What is going on? And is it just a San Francisco thing? Is it a West Coast thing? Is it a national crisis? What are we looking at here with these insane looting robberies that are happening, most recently, obviously, in San Francisco?
So this is a national problem because there was a similar looting in Chicago over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And what they're calling these events are flash mob lootings or mass lootings. So they're organized on social media. That's the challenge. They are not easily stoppable because law enforcement isn't watching everything happening on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and that sort of thing. And so you have these young people, part of gangs perhaps, organizing these massive convoys of cars. We saw a lot of this during the Black Lives Matter riots in 2020 when there were big convoys going up to Michigan Avenue, which is the central shopping district. Mm-hmm. In Chicago, and that's why they put the National Guard there. Once that was defended, then the flash mobs started going through other parts of the city. So local communities complained about that all the ritzy stores downtown were getting the attention. But the method is the same. You have a convoy of vehicles. They arrive at once at a predetermined time. They block traffic, and they split as soon as they have enough goods. And they drive off in different directions, making it much harder for police to follow them. The police will get one or two, but the other get away.
Mm-hmm. Joel Pollack joining us. You know him from his great work. He's a senior editor at large at Breitbart News, host of Breitbart News Sunday on Sirius XM Patriot on Sunday evenings from 7 to 10. And, of course, his tremendous book, Red November, telling the story of the 2020 Democratic presidential primary from a conservative perspective. When you look at this and what is happening here, people are pointing to, obviously, the laws that were changed in California to basically elevate felonious theft to $950. Everything under $950 is a misdemeanor. You get a desk appearance ticket. They've emptied the jails. There isn't a law enforcement sort of focus going on in that state with people like Gascon and Chesa Boudin. But this represents a much bigger national mania. You talk about the challenge of this stuff getting put together on, say, social media. Now, are we talking like Facebook, Twitter, or are we talking like Telegram, WhatsApp? I mean, what are we looking at here?
We don't know. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. It could be Signal. It could be anything. I don't want to single out any particular social media server, but we know that you can't organize this kind of thing unless you have those telecommunications. That's why.
Let me just kind of spin it back to what we were talking about. You have these cities that are being experiencing looting, right? San Francisco comes to mind. But you've also got these outlying communities, Mill Valley, Walnut Creek, places like that, that may or may not be as constrained with their law enforcement efforts like you see in the cities like San Francisco or L.A. Is there any difference between the way these laws are being enforced and the aggressiveness with which they're taking on looters?
Well, I think if they try this sort of thing in the suburbs, they'll find that homeowners, even in the San Francisco Bay Area, mm-hmm. have a significant number of firearms among them. The cities tend to have very strict gun control laws, but right. In the suburbs, even in California, the laws tend to be more permissive. Mm-hmm. And I think if they start trying to go after private residences, maybe even some private businesses, mm-hmm. there are going to be confrontations, and I think that's when this will stop. There's already an article, we have it up at Breitbart today, about how ordinary residents of San Francisco are investing in just about anything they can for self-defense.
Right.
Guns are not often an option, both because they're harder to get and harder to keep in a blue, liberal, democratic city, and also because politically, a lot of these people are Democrats and they don't want to own a firearm. Mm-hmm. And they're trying other things, self-defense courses, martial arts, whatever it is. But there is a growing sense that with this defund the police movement still continuing, I mean, Seattle is holding a vote today at some point on whether to continue defunding the police. That momentum hasn't stopped on the far left. In fact, it's just continued as if the election never even happened earlier this month. I mean, Seattle elected a Republican city attorney, but they're still voting on defunding the police. I think you're seeing a panic among liberal residents of these cities, and a lot of them are moving out to places where they can better defend themselves. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal today about how a lot of the people who are leaving San Francisco are not actually leaving California altogether. A lot of them are moving to the far suburbs of L.A. They're going to Southern California to an area called the Inland Empire, which is further out from the city, but is really more like rural red state America in terms of its culture. And these are places where people have a lot more security and where they don't have to run into all kinds of other urban problems, homelessness, that sort of thing. These issues are becoming a major, major problem. So, you know, this is something I think that will run out of steam once these movements, these mass looting efforts start to go to the suburbs. But it is going to continue to be a problem as long as these Democrats continue to pursue their policies.
And as you look at this now, in the wake of Rittenhouse and obviously in the wake of horrible what happened in Waukesha yesterday, there is going to be a cost, I think, obviously, especially for the Democrats because they're regarded as soft on crime. Are we revisiting like the Tea Party moment back in 2010, Joel, in terms of that energy being built up, but rather than it being targeted at Obamacare back in 2009, 2010, it's law and order, it's safety, it's security, it's school districts, it's all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and for that reason, it's very different. I mean, this isn't a Tea Party movement in the sense that it's not being driven by conservative ideology.
Right.
This is being driven by ordinary people who may not even be conservatives or Republicans at all.
It's visceral.
But who are just absolutely fed up with what they're seeing, and they want to do something about it. So it's almost outside of politics. Mm-hmm. It's just a general sense that what's happening right now is unsustainable, and people want no part of it. And that's what you're seeing out there.
Yeah. Great stuff. Joel, I appreciate your patience. I'm so happy we got to connect and have a little bit of a conversation about this. And I think it's something we should talk about, you know, moving forward here, because that is the most granular thing you and I both know is safety, security, the ability to walk down the street and go to a store.
Right.
I mean, that it doesn't get much more granular than that. I mean, that's
right.
About it.
Right.
So, appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for coming by. Always enjoy our conversations. Joel Pollack's at Breitbart.com. Listen to his coverage. Read his stuff. He's one of the smartest people I've come across. And we wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Thank you very much. You too.
Take care. That's Joel Pollack. Your reactions as well, straight ahead, 704-570-1110. You know, when I start to lay out in front of me what I think is the challenges that we're facing in this time in this country, the ability to go down the street and be safe, the ability to be in your house and not have gunfire come into it, the ability to know that your kids are going to be safe at school, that you're not going to have a mass gang fight breakout and guns are going to fall on the floor. Those are things, those shouldn't even be expectations. They ought to just be baked into the cake. But something is eroding that. And I know we had a call from, I think it was Peter in the beginning of the hour, who said, you know, things are going to bottom out and then they just got to get better and that's just how it's going to be. All is not lost. Well, no, all is not lost. But, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Rome wasn't destroyed in a day. And with every downtick of expectation in terms of human behavior, you lose a little something of our identity as people in this constitutional republic, in this free republic, regardless of politics. And that is a tremendous mistake. Because just like falling approval numbers don't ever go back up. Just like prices that go up don't ever really come back down. What you lose in a society that has respect for private property and respect for commerce and respect for each other, when you lose that, it's impossible to get it back. That's my supposition. What's yours?